the number one mistake people made was that they had way too many what we call spaces in their community, too much stuff going on, and instead of just focusing people on a signature gathering. So instead of like adding the extra things, I would only hone in on those 2 to 3 signature gatherings and make those really great.
Welcome to Solopreneur, the one-person business podcast for professionals ready to take charge of their company of one and reclaim their freedom. Join us as we bring you inspiring stories, invaluable insights, and practical strategies from successful solopreneurs and industry experts. Get ready to feel empowered to create a thriving business that aligns with your unique goals and allows you to live life on your own terms. Here are your hosts, Joe Rando and Carly Reese.
Welcome to Solopreneur, the one-person business podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Carly Reese.
And I'm Joe Rando.
And we are doing a different format today. Usually we do the interview format, interview style. And today we are actually going to be doing a workshop on how to build a community from scratch for solopreneurs. This is something that is so important for one-person business owners because you not only need it to get your stuff done for a state of mind, but you need it to grow your own audience. And so to help us do that today, we have two guests. If you're seeing on YouTube, there are 4 squares, not just 3 today. We have our very own community manager, Stacey Blett, who actually has a side hustle she's working on. And that's kind of going to be our guinea pig. But then we also have, drumroll please, Andy Gatormsen. He is the co-founder at Circle. And if you are not familiar with Circle, it is an all-in-one community platform for creators and brands. And they currently serve over 10,000 people. So he kind of knows what he's talking about. And from our standpoint, they are a match made in heaven today. So Andy, Stacey, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you so much. Really been looking forward to this.
Yeah, we have too. It's been a long time coming. I think I was the one that had to reschedule last time and I was super bummed about it. So I'm glad we're finally on the air. But Andy, I'm usually the interviewer and I'm going to pass the baton to you. I want you to run this like you would any of your workshops with Circle. And Stacey, just get prepared to answer the questions. And we are just going to work through this, solopreneurs, as if this was your business starting from scratch. So get a notepad out, get your phone out, get what you need, and tune in.
Well, thank you so much, Carly. And Stacey, I cannot wait for you and I to dive in here. So, you know, ultimately, I think we kind of want to know what success looks like for you and I for the next, you know, 35 to 45 minutes. So, the idea here is you walk away with a pretty clear plan for how you would potentially launch a kind of community first business. Before we get there, tell me a little bit about it. Like, what are your goals? What's going on?
So the big goals to have a big party online every day where people can come in and just feel encouraged, supported. It's a big, enthusiastic space. Backing up my product is something I designed for runners. My company is called Sweatproof, and it's an accessory that you wear while running that helps with sweating, excessive sweating. It's a cloth that you can use to wipe sweat or blow your nose or anything. And actually came upon this idea while running a marathon. I've run 17 marathons to date. And
wow.
Yes. Slow and steady.
That's 17 more than me.
Slow and steady. I'm not one in the laurel wreath, but crossing the finish line. So I was running a marathon and the man in front of me dropped his paper towel that he was using and he stopped to pick it up and I went right into the back of him. So my product actually is a cloth on a retractor that you clip anywhere on your clothing so that you can use it and then just let it go and it will retract back into itself. So that's really the product, but the running community is phenomenal. And so the community that I want to build around this is just more runners who sweat excessively, backpackers, anybody who needs a little bit of encouragement and support along the way. And like I said, just one big online party when they join the community.
Amazing. And so I'm going to do a little bit of discovery with you real quick, just okay. A few different questions so that I can get some context. So the group, these are runners. And when you think about the community itself, do you want to what role would it play in your broader business? Is it kind of its own individual thing? Is it a paid membership community, for instance, where people, they sign up, they get access to it? Is the goal actually to sell more of your other product, or maybe not? Like how do you think about the purpose of the community for you?
So I'm thinking along the lines of a Susan G. Komen, where it's not a paid membership. It's an online community that you can join. My original thought was to niche down to women, but I've backed off on that a little bit. And it's really for exposure for products, but encouraging to post pictures. What races are you going to be at? Who else from Sweatproof is going to be there, and have logo apparel so that you can find those people while you're there?
Love it. And so when you think about when we figure out the strategy, which we're going to get to the strategy, the tactics, very specific with real examples in a moment. But when you think about what happens if this goes well, how many people are in there? What does a typical week look like for the members specifically? What do they get in terms of the value? Tell me about that.
So the running community is extremely supportive. I'm a member of two different running clubs, and I get something different from each one. So the main thing is just encouragement, which is huge for, I would say, mid to backpackers, right? They need that encouragement to keep going. So very encouraging. I would be happy with 5,000 members. big.
Yeah.
And then people coming in and saying where they are, what pace they run, they've got their cloth, they've got their sweat headband or whatever the product is, but just support and encouragement. And when they come in, they know they can say where they're going to be and then eventually have an in-person community at different races.
Love it. And I know you can do that. 5,000 members is totally doable. So, the context is really helpful. And when you think about the launching a community from scratch, which is what this is, right? A community is a little bit different than an audience. So you might think about, if I had an audience, I would have kind of a following. It's a one-to-many relationship, but my audience, they don't connect with each other. A community, what you're talking about, is something where those members, they're connecting and getting value with each other instead of just you. And so, a lot of people, when they're just starting out, the first thing that they think about is, what if I launch this community and nobody signs up? Or what if I launch the community and people sign up and then they don't get enough value? Or what if I launch the community and people come in, but it's a ghost town? And then I kind of look, I have an egg on my face. And it's actually really vulnerable to actually say, hey, I want to launch a community, then go out and try to do it, because there's a chance of failure. And, at Circle, we have 10,000 communities. So we have communities that are, some of the biggest brands on the planet, like Adobe or Webflow, down to little, small, very small businesses, where it's just kind of one really ambitious solopreneur. And frankly, most of our communities are like that. And then we have everything in between. And whether you're the really big community or the small community, most folks should start out doing the same thing, which is really identify what we call signature gatherings, right? So a signature gathering it's really like these two or three or four moments, these community experiences that you're going to provide to people. It's the value prop for your community. It's almost like the product, the big features. And signature gatherings, we need to figure out what yours might be. But a signature gathering, it can be, I'll give you some really great examples. So one of my favorite examples, there's a guy named Josh Hall. He has a design community. And his design community is all freelance designers. They're, individuals who run their own businesses. He has a community with, I think now about 150 people. It's a few thousand dollars a year, actually. So it does a few hundred thousand dollars. His community members love him, but they love the value they get from each other. So he has a signature gathering where it's called Hot Seats. People come in, it's a business community. So they come in and they're in groups of six or seven once a week. One person's on the hot seat every week. The other six or seven people in the group, they're there. And me, as I'm on the hot seat, I might say, I have this big problem in my business. We're all going to solve it together. So you're going to come in, we're all going to focus just on you this week solving your problem. That's one example of a signature gathering, but incredibly valuable for Josh. Another example might be book clubs. Another example might be sharing your work and getting feedback. So David Perel has this amazing writing community called Rite of Passage. And so what he did is he has all these folks going through writing and then getting feedback on their work every single week. It's incredibly valuable. Other examples might be you bring in an expert to teach on something once a week, once every other week, or once a month, or maybe even better, you identify people in your community because maybe some of them might be the experts. I mean, if you have 100 members in there, there's so much knowledge, bring them in for the experts, even have your community vote on who that person could be or what they might teach. And as you think about the signature gatherings, I mean, we have like 15, 16, 17 of them that are really common that we see all the time, but you're going to identify the 2 or 3 signature gatherings for you. And you're going to choose ones that you're comfortable with, meaning if you really like teaching yourself, being live, whatever it is, maybe you'll create like a training or you'll have the experts. But, you know, maybe if you're a little bit more tactical, maybe it's something completely different and it's off camera. But we need to figure out what those 2 to 3 signature gatherings are for your community.
Can I ask a question?
Yep. Totally.
I'm sorry. So when you have these signature gatherings, what kind of a percentage attendance do you expect to see? So if you've got, you know, 1,000 members, you know, what number, what percentage would you expect to show up if you're doing it right?
So it should be a pretty high percentage. And it all comes back to nailing who the community is for and being really thoughtful about expectation setting coming into the community, because the difference between an audience, right? So like, there's actually not like this podcast would be an example. There's going to be listeners to the podcast, but we haven't really like explicitly set an expectation with them about like what they're going to contribute back from the podcast. Or maybe you have, but less likely so like with a podcast format as an example. With a community though, a lot of times people are applying or they're signing up. A lot of times you're doing, you know, a one-on-one call with those first folks. So it should be pretty high because you'll, when they come in, set the expectation that we need you to post, respond to members, show up to the events, all that kind of stuff to be a really great contributing member, you know, which is different than some other formats.
That's a really good point, that expectation. Perfect.
So Stacey, when, you know, we'll come back to the signature gatherings in a moment, but, you know, one of the things that actually a lot of people, people with really large audiences, what they don't like to hear, but it's the truth, is that when you start these communities, a lot of times it's like starting a fire, right? Like you're like rubbing two rocks together. It takes a lot of work. And, you know, even if you have a massive community, you kind of have to start, or sorry, a massive audience, you kind of have to start with 30 people.
Right.
Right. Like, and kind of like do like one-on-one calls with each of them to say, hey, like, here's what our signature gatherings are going to be. Here's what like my expectations would be of you. You know, we're going to start the community on this date. Then it's going to go, you know, every whatever. But see, you know, you would have to do that. That's the good thing, actually, though, about starting from scratch is that in the community world, yeah, you get some advantages from having a big audience. But in some ways, it's almost like you get to give all this value to those first members because it's so small, which makes it more valuable and easy for you to deliver on your promise.
Yeah.
And when you think about what may go wrong if like the community doesn't work or whatever, like actually it's easier for you to reduce that risk.
Okay.
Because it's a smaller group.
Okay.
So tell me about, you know, when you think about signature gatherings and like the real value prop, different value props, different moments that you could provide to people in the community, what are some things that come to mind?
So one of the things that you did mention was a weekly. I mean, I could even have it daily because I could talk about running all day long. but weekly, a weekly chat for people to come in and say, hey, I'm running, you know, such and such a race on Saturday. I'm nervous. I'm slow, whatever. And have it's an encouragement call. Have everybody get together and it's like almost like a hot seat. Hey, who's doing what this weekend? Let's see what their issue is. And they may not. They may just come in to encourage other people. There's a lot of people like that. So have that at least once a week. And that would be huge because it gets everybody pumped up right before the weekend. And then they're ready to come back on Monday and say, hey, here's what happened. So it could be like a Friday call and a Monday get together, something like that, like piggybacking on the weekend. So that would be one huge thing for the community. And then
I love that.
Yeah, thanks. See, I could start it right now.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, there's two other things, especially with the people that I'm kind of targeting. What one would be speakers that talk about, you know, your running form, how to start running, how to tweak your running form, the difference between cadence and pace, different things like that that go with running. So more of an educational aspect. And then another one would be in with that would be talking about your apparel. What do you wear for different temperatures, different length of races? So educational. And then the other one would be like race etiquette. If you've never been to a big marathon before, what do you do? How do you, you know, how do you act? Where do you line yourself up? So it's, I think a lot of it is educational and then that encouragement piece.
Love it. So we're going to get in a minute to going out and finding these members, right?
Okay.
But let's start with refining that offer. So the first thing you mentioned was one, it's a really great kind of like version of a signature gathering. One of the most effective, which is accountability groups or, you know, whatever it is. So there are different forms of that that you could explore, right? So you mentioned, you know, the idea of maybe people kind of sharing their intentions earlier on, let's say in the week or at the end of the week, whatever it is. Hey, maybe this is what like my next week is going to look like in terms of my running and my plan and all of that. And so then there's me being accountable to sharing it, maybe me being accountable to updating folks on how it went, maybe feedback from other people, right? There's different versions of this where it could happen in private messages. I could be paired with an accountability partner or an accountability group. It could happen more publicly. So a lot of people can see my plans. There's a little bit more like broader, not pressure, but broader accountability and all of that. So you could really refine what that is. And, you know, maybe to start, it's a broader group. And to your point, it's maybe I share, you know, early in the week, kind of my whole plan for the week and then get some encouragement review. But by the way, maybe as part of the community, I review other people's plans for the week and I give them, you know, feedback, encouragement, all of that, right? That's kind of part of it. So maybe that's your first signature gathering is some version of accountability. The second one you mentioned was like education, but kind of a community approach to education where maybe instead of you just, this is the best part of a community, instead of you just coming up with all the ideas, you ask the members, like, what do they want? Let them vote on it. Or even let them propose what we're going to vote on. What are some ideas? You know, come up with a list that they create, then let the whole community vote. And if you want to go even one step further than that, say, which of our members do you want to hear from? That would be great, right? So that's something that you could do. How often do you think you would want to do that in the community?
The educational piece, at least once a month, maybe twice a month.
That could be a good cadence,
yeah.
Like maybe once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So now if you think about it, I'm a runner. I'm joining this group, getting to be part of a group where I'm going to get make some relationships. I'm going to have accountability, get the encouragement, maybe even some like valuable feedback throughout the week. I'm going to be learning, you know, probably from somebody, you know, once every 2 weeks who really knows their stuff on a very specific niche, right? We're not talking broad,
no,
you know, stuff. We're talking very specific.
Specific.
So then, you know, we have two pretty good signature gatherings there. We probably want like three or four really solid ones. It could literally just be two, by the way. So, you know, another example could be something like a challenge. So challenges are really popular where, and they're similar to accountability groups, but, you know, for 5 straight days, I'm going to do this thing or 30 straight days, I'm going to do this thing, right? And a lot of times fitness is great for challenges. So maybe there's a challenge you could explore. Is there anything that comes to mind tied to running?
Well, it's going to be different. When I think about it, everybody's going to be doing different length of races. So I'd have to stop and think about something everybody could do together. Otherwise, my thought would be to have like an annual Grand Prix and, you know, you do a race once a month. It doesn't matter what length you're doing. And almost like at the end of the year, we have an annual banquet and everybody gets points for the number of races they've done. And that way you don't have to all be running marathons or all be doing 5Ks or things like that. And then you can have once a month challenge update to see, you know, how many did you do this month, and lead in keeping people engaged through the whole year. So that was kind of like my thought.
Yeah. You know, retention is so important. I could even imagine that, you know, as you're going, you're like, you can do a lot of times, you can have little like badges and things like that, that you put on people's profiles to give them like recognition and credibility throughout the community for, you know, taking on different challenges and all of that. I could see you having a version of that. So, you know, those signature gatherings, those are all actually kind of very repeatable and they keep somebody engaged over an extended period of time. You know, the signature gatherings we have here, they're actually, they don't require me to be hanging out in the community all day. They just require me to be very intentional and show up for that moment. And then I can come back. That takes some pressure off.
Yeah.
It's hard to get people to hang out in the community all day. So it probably shouldn't even be the goal. So you might have three signature gatherings there. Now you might want to have like an extra area or something just for kind of more like open-ended conversation interactions. But let's imagine that's your signature gathering. So you have three signature gatherings, right? You could create a pretty good landing page there that explains that if you wanted to, I'm sure. So, you know, now you're going to go figure out where my first founding member is going to come from, right? Because you want to get to 5,000, but it's going to be impossible if you can't even serve 10.
Right.
So we got to find those 10. Now, these are going to be the crazy irrational people who are willing to go on this journey with you. You don't have any community yet. And, you know, one of the things that I would feel if I was creating a community from scratch is, well, do I have to like kind of convince these people that I have some really great community already running, or, you know, and will I feel good about that? And probably not. Right. Like it's much easier. It takes all the pressure off if you just tell people you're very transparent. Hey, I'm starting this thing from scratch. I'm looking for my initial founding members and we're going to do this thing together. You're like, you're going to build it with me. That's an easier, you know, conversation to have with folks. We have to go out and find those people, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But like, once we go and have those conversations and find those 20 people, 30 people, we have to bring them into the community. And then they have to get a really great experience, because they're going to be coming in and the first thing they're going to be wondering is, did I make the right decision? Is Stacy going to be able to really like make this thing happen? And, you know, all you have to do is prove it kind of up front. And I actually think this is one of the easiest parts to do if you know kind of very tactically how to approach it. And there's basically three steps that I would recommend. So if you were to kind of put yourself in the member's shoes, right? So let's say they've already agreed to come into the community. What fears do you think that they might have, or what hesitations, like what's going through their head?
They don't know anybody originally, unless they come in with other people, but they don't know anybody. They're not good enough. I know sometimes I feel like I'm not fast enough. I'm not good enough to be in a group. So I look for groups before I join them. I kind of pick in and see if I can see somebody that's my pace or something. Those are the two main fears, I think.
So I don't know anybody.
And I'm not good enough.
And I'm not.
Yeah. Fast enough.
Yep. Good enough from us. Yeah. And it's more from like a skill level, not a.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really good to know what their objectives or their objections are and how you might overcome them. I guess I don't know anybody, very solvable. We're going to solve that right out of the gate. And then the skill set is another one. So one of my favorite examples of a community, it's for business owners. It's a membership community turned by a guy named Pat Flynn, SPI Media. He has about 600 people in there. And you know, one of the things that they've always been incredibly intentional about is how to actually like onboard the members and give them a great experience up front so that they can retain those members. And when you bring people into your community, the first thing is we're going to have those conversations with like one-on-one conversations with those founding members up front. And we're going to explain to them exactly what they're going to get inside to really set the expectations. But when they come in, you know, one thing we can do is what the SPI team does. So first of all, they talk one-on-one with all the customers, right? And all the different members, at least they used to for the first few cohorts. And, you know, like if you go to university or you're going to go away. I remember when I was 19, going to school for the first time and nervous a couple months beforehand. And they do this freshman orientation where you come and you meet all the classmates before you go in. Yeah. So SPI actually does a version of that. So before you even get into the membership, like they say, all right, the cohort is going to start or this month, you know, everybody gets in on this day or whatever it is. But 2 weeks or 3 weeks before that, they bring all the new members together and they get a chance to meet each other, ask questions, they set expectations. They say, hey, here's like what a great member is. Maybe they bring in some existing members to come and talk and kind of like share their experience, but they get you excited. And that way, you know, that first day of school, you kind of know the other folks in there with you. You're not there by yourself, right? So that's one thing you could do is you could maybe open up your community once a month and then you have cohorts, people coming together, they have friends, they know people. But regardless, you're going to let people in and they're going to jump into the community. There's three things you got to do. So the first thing is you have to make sure people get just familiar with the tool, that the environment, right? And know how to use it. The other thing is you need to give people some immediate positive reinforcement for like making the right decision, get them some value right away. And then the third thing is you need to help them get connected to at least one other member. Some relationship has to form in the first like 24 hours, right? That's when they're judging you the most and they're kind of like on the fence and you have to validate their decision, make them feel like they made the right call.
Okay.
So, you know, it sounds kind of like a big task, something, you know, tough to do for every member, but you can create systems and use the tools to help do that. So, for example, something very tactical you could do is you're going to create this like home for your community where people go. Where they get in, you can come in and basically have like a nice little welcome video. It's you talking, right? Because it's community. It's all about the people. So you'll welcome them in. You'll kind of explain the lay of the land and all of that, how to use the tool. But then the next thing you can do is you can have like a getting started checklist, kind of like a new member, you know, onboarding checklist. You can say, I want you to go through this list. At the end of the list, I want you to maybe send me a DM or send this person a DM. You know, maybe it's one of your team members or whatever it is. And I recommend it be you. So they send you a DM after they go through it. Give them a gift or something nice. Say, hey, I'll give you a gift and this awesome thing. I think you'll really love it, whatever it is. And send them a nice note. So they've now gone through this checklist, which kind of gives them a lay of the land and all of that. The other thing you'll do as maybe part of that checklist is you'll have them reach out to a specific member. And, you know, sometimes you can just connect them with another member who you think could be a great fit. Even better if you then introduce that person to the community, right? Because a lot of people, they say, hey, go introduce yourself in the community or whatever. That's fine. The best thing to do is maybe go and say, I'm going to use my authority, my influence, my kind of like recognition as the admin to go and write like a glowing review of this person. I'm going to introduce them to the community and say what's so great about them. And so if you accomplish that in that first kind of hour of somebody coming into the community, those moments, you can really go a long way, you know, in terms of setting them up to succeed and stick around. But how does that sound?
That sounds amazing. It sounds amazing because it feels like they would start connecting with people right away.
You kind of know the signature gatherings, right? Like you may have the accountability. Maybe there's a challenge. Maybe you're bringing in experts. Maybe there's an open kind of, you know, area. Maybe you have a book club. Maybe there's all these different things you could do. There's a long list. Where do you think you might look to find the first 30 members? Like what's your instinct telling you?
My instinct tells me my two existing running clubs, but I know from already knowing those people that they're not all my niche. So I do have a lot of friends. I have so many friends who are slower runners or walkers who aren't part of the running clubs. So I really would reach out to more of my friends. I would reach out to the running clubs as well, but more of my friends and I've encouraged to come into the running club so that we can have a wide variety of paces. And then also, you know, my family, they would jump on board in a heartbeat. But that's really where I would be looking for more of my friends who are slow runners or are power walkers.
Love it. So these are people who are maybe, they're kind of more getting introduced to running?
Yes. Carly. Because we all start somewhere. That's me.
That's right. So your friends, your family, like people that you know, you know, a lot of people, their first instinct, especially, by the way, business owners, marketers, this is how I am. Like my first thought is, okay, I want to create like this amazing marketing. I want to go out. I want to do this big launch and I want to have the cool branding and everything has to be perfect. But, you know, what you're talking about is actually probably the right way, right? Like that's how most of the communities get started. It's like you pick out your phone and you go through your contacts. You figure out who would be five people on my phone that are like great. Or I go to LinkedIn and I find like, if I have 500 contacts, I find the five from there. And then I find the five from this other group that's offline. And so, you know, you might literally create a list like on a pad of paper of those names and reach out to them. And, you know, you'll reach out to them and then you'll send them an email. You don't even necessarily need a landing page, but you could have a landing page. You could say, hey, I'm going to do this. Do you want to chat? Right. So you would hop on a call with them, which isn't very scalable. But the whole point in this phase is to create some like validation and learnings. Because this is your product, essentially. So you're almost getting like product market fit for your community. It's like community market fit. Because if you can nail that, then you can worry about like scaling up to 5,000 members. What kind of questions come to mind when you think about like, how do I get my first members? Like, what are you feeling? Like, how?
That part I'm not sure about yet. I would want to know how many other communities they're in, so I would know how active they would be. You know, are they even open to being in the community? How do they feel when they go out and start racing? Have they been doing any races? So trying to just get a general history on how they feel about, you know, being accountable and being part of a group or a community. That would be my main group of questions.
Yeah. You know, and it would be tempting, those would be great questions, and it would be tempting to just like let anybody in the community, but actually then you kind of start to get this base. So this is what Joe was touching on earlier, like kind of how engaged are they? What's the right amount of people,
right,
and all that. It's like you want, if you have too many people who aren't the right fit, it can really dilute the whole community and it can bring down the experience for everybody else. So there is one of my favorite communities on the planet is, it's run by a guy named Jason Gaynard. It's called Mastermind Talks. It's not on Circle for what it's worth. It's been around for over 10 years. And he actually capped the number of members in the community. So his philosophy is quality over quantity. And in fact, our quantity will never get bigger. We will only increase the quality of people in the room. And that's how he's really sustained his community.
I love that. Yeah.
If we think about scaling the community up and your time, maybe not even scaling it up, but like, let's say you have 100 members, like how would you run it day to day? How would you allocate your time?
Well, because I still work full time, it's going to be a lot of evenings and weekends, which is what I'm doing now with the product development. And that's okay because, you know, most people that are in a community aren't in it during the day. They're either working or, you know, taking care of their kids or doing something else. So I'm okay with being in it, you know, just at night. Jump on in the morning, say good morning, little quick video, let it go during the day, jump on again at night. How did everybody do today? You know, who still has to go out tonight? And so I'm okay with that with evenings. I tend to work a lot around the clock. So I'm good with after hours and weekends and things like that. Yeah.
And when you think about the, you know, obviously you have, there's always like the trade-off of time, you know, how much time can I invest in this thing? And what does it have to be what I have to, what's the return got to be in order for it to be worth my time, essentially? And so, like, do you know very explicitly, like, what your goal might be in terms of, like, product sold or extra revenue generated or opportunities created? By the way, I'll give you an example. There's a great community that we have of, it's a venture capital group. They run their community, all their communities for portfolio founders. They just help their portfolio founders get together, but they also hope they get deal flow from it. They don't monetize it at all. There's all sorts of different goals, but like, what needs to happen for it to be worth it for you from a business perspective? It's okay if it's not purely about the business and it's just kind of indirect.
Yeah. So obviously you can tell it's something that I just have fun with. I'm passionate about it. I love to help people feel accomplished and feel joy. And so for me, I don't really see it day to day as working. That's the community side. The product side, I would like to have enough revenue to pay for my daughter's college or something like that. I don't, you know, not looking to make $1 million overnight, but just something to do after retirement. Sorry, Joe, someday I am going to leave.
You've said that before.
I know. I said it like four times. I'm leaving.
30 years later with you, Joe.
30 years later, we're still together. So, something that I could do after retirement to stay active, to travel. I mean, one of my best moments would be if I have a group of people and I know they're running the San Diego Marathon and I show up and they're like, oh my gosh, it's the sweatproof lady. She's here. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. Stuff like that. And just running the whole group together. And it's just, that's my dream.
Love it. So, it seems like there's a couple of different options here, right? So there's kind of like this indirectly help my product sell more, right? And you got to sell a lot of volume in order for it to make an impact there, right? So directly, the community may not play as big of an impact there. Other things, you might think about is like, a lot of times, if you do have a low price on these communities, if they are paid, it does help you get a little bit more people who are a bit more invested and committed. And it also helps give you a little bit of cash just to help deliver even more value to people, have somebody on your team who can help, have some more polish on the signature gatherings. But when you think about the action plan, like, let's say that you're like, all right, I'm going to do it. The painting is kind of getting colored in a little bit. I could see what this could look like. Like, how quickly would you want to move towards that? Like, what do you think the next steps would be if you were to get into kind of action mode?
Well, right now I'm just in the middle of writing up, like, I have a giant spreadsheet on all of the different things that I would do, which would be activities or events in the community, posts that I want to do. I'm trying to make lists of people who could give me educational information, do that, the bi-monthly talks. So I'm trying to get that all together and then I would launch it. So I think I need, a little more time to do that, not much, maybe another month or two. And then it will be ready to go because I want to have a lot of that stuff kind of in my back pocket before. I don't want to be scrambling like to think of, well, who am I going to get next week? I'm talking to my friends and see who could come in. And I know a lot of runners who could talk about different things. So, and physical therapists and people that I just stay in touch with forever. So once I get a couple of months ahead of me, maybe 6 months ahead, and then I'll be ready to launch it.
I totally get wanting to having your content laid out. I would say you don't need 6 months though.
Okay.
I you could almost over prepare from like a content perspective, because what'll actually happen is you'll bring those folks in and you'll start to get really good ideas from them. They'll contribute to the content. But I think your approach is totally right, right? Like, let's say you want to have every other week, or maybe you even want to do it every week for the first month or 2 months. So that's eight expert trainings right there. Who are your first eight experts, right? And then maybe like you have six of them lined up, five of them lined up, and three are going to be voted out from the community. So you can nail that. Next thing, I'm going to create some type of accountability group, exactly what you talked about. Maybe there's a prompt each week, right? With that we catch up on how did the week go? How was my plan? All of that. Then you got to set up your onboarding flow. Like that's like one day. So you can set that up in a day, all that onboarding, because it's a system really is what it is. But you can do this in 30 days, I would say, pretty well. What I think a lot of people kind of mess up with their communities. So we did this benchmark report. We literally looked at data from 10,000 communities, all behind the scenes, you know, what's actually working. Because we all have opinions, but sometimes it's just nice to look at like what's the actual data telling us without any bias. And the number one mistake people made was that they had way too many what we call spaces in their community, too much stuff going on.
Okay.
And instead of just focusing people on the signature gathering. So instead of like adding the extra things, I would only hone in on those 2 to 3 signature gatherings and make those really great.
So is the idea that you're watering it down?
Exactly.
You're watering it down by having too many places to go. So it's kind of feels like you're alone wherever you go. That makes a lot of sense.
It dilutes it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And it distracts, because if you're putting in all the value into those 2 to 3 signature gatherings and everything else is kind of just more, yeah, give people the absolute best product and nothing else.
Okay.
And what you could say is, you know, maybe you're 4 weeks in, how are these kind of what we have going? But then also, by the way, here were some other ideas for signature gatherings that we were going to have. You don't have to call them signature gatherings, obviously. But you say, these are some other things we're thinking about doing. We're going to add, right now we're doing this challenge, we're doing the expert training, and we're doing the accountability groups. We're thinking about adding one of these 3 or 4 things over here. What does everybody want? And get their feedback on it.
I like don't have a community to start, but I want to now figure out community to start. I feel so inspired, and I'm like, I have all this information, nothing to do with it right now. I need to channel it somewhere.
Carly, I'll send you an invite to mine. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you. Well, Andy, this has been so, so great. Stacey, I'm sure you have consumed just as much nuggets.
All my notes.
Yeah, I hope I didn't look awkward on screen. I've had my phone out in front of me, and I've been putting it in front of Andy's grid to make it look like I was looking at Andy and not taking notes, when really I was taking notes because there's just so much good information. So listeners, viewers, if you saw me doing that, I was trying to be smooth, and it may or may not have worked out like that. So
the listeners didn't see that, so don't worry about them.
Okay, viewers all. But Andy, we cannot thank you enough for coming on today. Stacey, we are so happy you are here as well. Andy, if people want to learn more about you or more about Circle, where can they find you?
Sure, go to circle.so. We just launched this community. We're calling it Community Benchmark Report. It's kind of like the behind-the-scenes data from our 10,000 communities. You should check that out. I think it'll give you a head start.
And give me some inspiration of what community I want to build.
Exactly.
Hit the ground running. Well, this has been so great. Thank you both so much. And listeners, we love helping you. It's one of the highlights of our day. We want to do this forever. And to do that, please be sure to subscribe. Please be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it. But with that being said, have a wonderful day, and we will see you next week on Solopreneur, the one-person business. Take care.
You may be going solo in business, but that doesn't mean you're alone. In fact, millions of people are in your shoes, running a one-person business and figuring it out as they go. So why not connect with them and learn from each other's successes and failures? At Lifestar, we're creating a one-person business community where you can go to meet and get advice from other solopreneurs. Be sure to join in on the conversations at community.lifestar.com. That's community.lifestar with 2 R's.com.